Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 411.
Welcome to this Monday night 411 show. I'm your host, Deviant, only on APRN, American People's Radio Network.
Good evening, folks. This is a Memorial Day 2015. I'm in the studios of APRN, the American People's Radio Network, and I'm waiting on a guest to call in. I do have a few things on topic here that I'd like to go over maybe a little bit later here. But I was thinking about, while I'm waiting, I was going to play a song here from the United Slaves of America album of Ninja Scrolls. And this first song I've really liked for a long time, and it means a lot to me. It's got an awful lot of information in it that if you jot down little things and then look it up on the internet or even go to your local library and look up on books, you're going to start having to dig deeper and deeper and deeper in the rabbit hole. Here it is. It's called Alice Bailey.
The following is a 10-point plan by Alice Bailey to destroy the Christian family structure and bring in the New World Order. Is it happening today?
Point one of the 10-point plan of Alice Bailey is take God out of the schools they teach daily. No consequence for your actions. Evolution, survival of the fittest, Charles Darwin's solution. 1962 Supreme Court ruling said the Bible was unconstitutional for schooling. Prayer to the one true God was taken out. Corrupt kids and program sheep without a doubt. Point two says diminish parental authority. Teachers in school should have superiority. The agents sent to indoctrinate our kids to accept the whole one world fate. They want a generation that's raised by the state. Mixed up morals and values they can't contemplate. It's similar to mind control and mind rape. No parents there to mold their minds to good shape. Point three, destroy the Christian family structure. Take the father from the head of the house. Put the mother in charge. Make it hard for the dad to find work. Make him feel like a helpless man with no worth. Break him down to the point that he is a beginner. Mom's off to work, now she is the only breadwinner. As she's lost her respect for her man, she can't hide the fact that her husband really can't provide. Point four, make abortion legal and easy to get and have sex with no regret. People use it as a form of safe sex contraception. Terms like the word fetus, straight deception, all part of the man's diabolical plot to depopulate the whole earth a lot. The world rots with the stench of death. Corrupt system that gives more rights to animals that are living. Point five, forget being married for life. Get divorced easily from your husband or wife. Don't think twice, she's fine, your showmate. Live your life to the fullest, that's the way that it is. And do without will, that's the whole of the law. Party like it's the end of your life, and do it all. Go out, do your thing, leave your spouse at the crib, and forget about every bad thing that you did. Point six says, make homosexuality an alternative to living traditionally. Living morally, incest, bestiality is okay, as long as both parties agree. You can see from history, societies fall when man decides to uphold immoral laws. A natural affection, change complexion of America, going in the wrong direction. Point seven, debate start and make it run mad, ungodly. Could this be the case today, oddly? Movies and music filled with pornographic and violent images is way too drastic. Made to shape and mold minds like plastic. Power to reach out to every demographic. All to break down the morals that Jesus Christ has given us to live everyday life. Point eight says, use the media to promote and change the mindset of everyday folks. It's no joke how they use the news owned by a few rich men to distort our views. On two, they use techniques to hypnotize and dissect. It's called the Hegelian dialect. Direct mind control aimed at you, designed to make you think how
how they want you to. Point nine, the goal is to try to create the one real religion done through the interface in which Christianity will have no place. All praying to the same God is what they'll say. Tell us this, we go with this and all chant words with the Buddhists and Muslims' prayers that's never heard. Cause the gods they pray to, the statues and idols, not a lie like the true living God of the Bible. Point ten, get the government involved with this. Politicians make laws for this. Make it seem like it's good for the world and then everything's bliss. Make the people all fall for this. Get the church to endorse it. The plan of Alice Bailey, you can see implemented into our lives daily. Through the court system, and the votes get overturned. Your vote don't really count, it's what you just learned. You think people be marching and will be concerned. And law of inconstitution is steadily burned. Christianity, the family drowned in the water. Luciferian plans of the New World Order. New World Order.
Number on the stock exchange, which equals slave trade, and it's done every time a baby is born. There is
and we're back. That was Ninja Scrolls Alice Bailey. And it being Memorial Day and all, I had had a kind of a rough day with it because there's a lot of people that are so founded in our freedoms that they think we have, and they think that every war has been justified, and they also think that just because their great-grandfather served that it had to have meant that it was the right thing to do. And I've made quite a few enemies, I think, today. I told a few people, and it wasn't that I had any disrespect for anybody, because God is only going to judge us on what we know and on what we know to believe to be true. God isn't going to judge us for mistakes or for being, how should we say, manipulated and tricked into thinking a certain way. We're going to be judged on what we know. And if I know that war, and we've been a country who's been at war forever, I think as long as we've been a country, that it's my duty then to tell them, no, this was wrong, and this was wrong. And what was wrong with the Vietnam War, what was wrong with the Korean War, what was wrong with World War II, what was wrong with all of them, each one separately. And they find it a big, huge disrespect. I've got one of my best buddies on, thank goodness. One of my buddies, James. James Impending?
I am here, dear.
What do you think of that? What I had just said, that, you know, there's a way of handling it, and I really tried to handle it in a very respectful manner, because people have died in believing that they did it for us. People did believe. Yeah, they you know, and families did, and a lot of families suffered because of these losses. Go ahead.
My personal opinion, and I'm sure it's not as popular as some of the other ones, but my personal opinion is these people fought for somebody else's greed, but in their mind, they were told they were fighting for freedom. Now, we have to remember that going to the military, that only the strongest minds are not broken through their process. It is a very long process to break and rebuild people.
Yeah.
And they're taught that they are to fight and die for every one of us here. And that's the greatness that they instill in these people. Now, is it the fact? No. The fact is that most wars are paid for before we ever send a troop, that the outcome is already decided, and that the natural resources have already been picked through. Now,
yep.
That's the reality. the reality is not as pretty as the Memorial Day banter that you're going to hear. Do people need to know what the reality is? Absolutely. That the only way we can stop what's happened is to learn from what has happened. And at this point in time, the learning aspect of it is pushed so far back that no matter what, I'm with you, Deviant. Not every person,
yeah.
And I don't think that one person has ever joined the military and said, I want to go and work for the enemy.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. Even the ones who said, I want to go and kill somebody, were thinking, I'm going to be doing it in the name of the United States freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, we need to start making sure that the people who serve us, who represent us, understand what it is they're truly fighting for.
Yep.
And I think that Memorial Day is an excellent day. My grandfather fought, and he didn't die at war, but he's dead now. He fought in Vietnam War two separate times. It was a point of pride for him that he did serve his country. But by the time he was old enough and out of the military, he realized what they did, what it was all about. And he was very unhappy, unhappy that it was the outcome, that nothing was ever changed here. We were never threatened, but yet we were told we were going to be communists if we didn't do that. Propaganda.
Yep. Well, and now the communist agenda, we're taught, the kids and everyone's taught that it's okay. We're trading with China. We do all these things that before we didn't do because it was wrong. And they were supposed to be the evil.
Yeah, and what's funny to me is people say how bad China is without doing any research. Now, I'm not saying China needs a ticker tape parade thrown for them, but as far as war, China hasn't waged war in 1,000 years. China hasn't gone to anybody and said, we're going to take what you have. We're going to take away freedom from the United States. We're going to do this. We're going to do all these things. No, they've sat back quietly for almost 1,000 years and have allowed the world to spin in any direction it wanted to.
Yep.
But
well, it's because they have us to do it. We're the ones, you know, out doing it all, being, you know, the supposed world police. But we're not. We're just killing people.
Yeah, well, we're the right hand of the UN is what we are.
Yeah, exactly. And it just, I don't know, this day is usually pretty rough on me because I have a lot of relatives and people that, you know, totally disagree with me, of course. But they don't look at the big picture either. That the only things that's changed here is we're closer and closer to becoming more of a new world, the new world order, and the communist agenda. It's just the tyranny. But yeah, I thought I'd touch on that. I know that that's pretty much a couple of the shows that I know is on tonight. That's exactly what they're probably going to be touching on. And then the other ones are going to be just shoving patriotism up your rear. So,
absolutely right, dear. Absolutely right. And I believe that it's everybody's right to feel any way they want to. If you want to be patriotic, absolutely wonderful. If you want to believe the propaganda, that's absolutely wonderful. But you can't deny what the truth is. No matter what your stance is on what the day should mean, you should dig a little bit, find out what the wars that these people died in were actually for, and then don't get mad at me for saying that it's not patriotic. Get mad at the people who sent them there for making people die in the name of patriotism.
Yeah. And then after they die, they may either be forgotten or they may have a little highway named after them. And then everybody thinks that it's okay and that it was in the name of freedom.
That's right.
And that's
absolutely right.
That's awful hard, too. There is something I just happened to wonder, because I was going to touch on them, the Amish, the plain people, or old order Amish. Is there any way that they can be recruited in or forced into military? Or are they strictly volunteer, because they don't, I don't think they do the Social Security, which means they wouldn't have a Social Security number, I would guess. Well,
they don't have a draft number. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. No draft number normally means you can't be drafted or forced into military duty, but that doesn't mean that they can't be now. That's not saying that suspending the Constitution and saying, here's a gun, fight or die, what's going to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were attacked, if somebody came, and God forbid, I don't mean this as a premonition, but if somebody came to the United States and started attacking, I believe that it would be every American's duty to stand up and repel borders. Anybody who won't defend their own country is a coward and doesn't need to be here. But
mm-hmm.
only defending your country is as far as your cowardness goes. I'm sorry. Afghanistan has a problem. Afghanistan has a government. Afghanistan has a military. If they can't handle that, then let them go to their allies and let their people fight
exactly.
and die what they believe.
Right. And see, that's what I've always thought, too, but that isn't what's always happened, of course.
Oh, absolutely
but,
not, dear. Absolutely
yeah.
not. But yes, I do believe that they could be forced in, just the same way as the immigrants are being asked to join, wink, wink, they're being pardoned to join the military so that they can have Social Security cards and be a part of this economic blissful nature that we seem to enjoy so well here.
Yeah. Right.
I think
well, that
could.
Was a... Yeah, it made me wonder about that, you know, because they are what we had discussed the other night, the freest people that well, we both believe in the United States,
oh,
the Amish. And that was something I was going to jump on the bandwagon of, because I haven't heard any shows of this kind discussing it. The Discovery Channel with the Amish Mafia series, which we know everything's scripted today, and we know everything's for an agenda on TV as well. And we know that, you know, they're really pumping it hard. But now that the show has been cut off, there still hasn't been enough attention for this Lebanon Levi and some of his crew that they are getting on the Dr. Phil show. He's wrote a book called The... Was it Secret Confidential Amish, something like that? $25 at your local bookstore. And it's supposed to have the secrets of the elders and the higher-up, which I can't really think of anything that would be so secretive that it's that important, because these people believe in getting to heaven, you know?
Oh.
They believe in getting to heaven. They don't believe in not expressing their feelings on if you're, well, we got a lot of Amish around here, and if you go into their store dressed provocatively, usually it's an elder that will come to you and say, hey, you know, would you please cover up and give you a shirt to wear, you know, on top of that. They're not shy about letting you know what it takes to get to heaven and to be saved. But I think there's an agenda to it. I'm trying to think exactly what he had said the other day on the show. He keeps saying that he didn't publish all this stuff, and they're not talking about all this abuse and supposed pedophilia and incest to make the Amish look worse. They're doing it to let people know the truth and help. And I can't see in my eyes how anything can help, because he's not saying that the whole world is carnal, which it is. The whole world is. Every race, every creed, every color, you're born with carnal sin. That's the bottom line, but he keeps pushing the Amish issue, and I think it's to discredit them.
Well, of course, here you have the freest population under the United States flag, the absolute freest. You can't go in there and tell them anything. The IRS is the only organization that holds any kind of authority when it comes to the Amish whatsoever. And that's because they own land that is owned by the United States, blah, blah, blah. Slaves don't own property. So the only governing body over the Amish is the IRS. Okay, well, these people have been doing this since the 1800s, 1700s, late 1700s in the United States, have had this same lifestyle over and over and over again to the point of redundant. And they don't need our medical attention. They don't need our food. They don't need our this. They don't need our that. That's a
our
lot
schools.
Of untapped resources right there that they're not getting their hands on. And
right. They're
doing it by God's law. And for
yep. That
and that reason alone, in this Luciferian society, you have to take them down a peg. It's the holier than thou. It's a syndrome.
Yeah. And did you know that 80% of the Amish are in Pennsylvania and Ohio and Indiana? But I think they're spread out through like 19 states. But it seems like the Amish show, the book, anything bad to be said about any of the Amish, it's located within Pennsylvania and Ohio, which is the highest population, you know, to hit hard. And they're letting the whole nation think that this is the way it is all over.
Yeah, and all by design. All of it is absolutely 110% by design. It's time that everybody has a little dirt on them. Okay, well, nobody can be that perfect. So, okay, we go in, we investigate, and we don't find anything, then what happens then? We make it up. Because
yep. You
can't be doing that well without our help. We are the greatest nation in the world, and you refuse to take something from us? It's a slap in the face to the American people, is how it's looked at by the higher-ups. Not me. That's not my personal opinion. That is just how it appears on the surface.
Yep, that's exactly right, because their slowness of pace, their simplicity, because I don't even think that they have that high of a high blood pressure ratio. You know, seriously. Because their stress is mostly related to using their workhorses and that kind of thing. I think they said that there's 80,000 Amish with opposed to higher education because it violates their morals, their religion, and convictions. But actually what it is it's letting all the garbage in, because we know about the core curriculum. Well, what's that going to do to our college now? Are they going to have something that's going to make that even worse than the core curriculum? That's what I wondered. If our educational system, if the colleges were going to get way worse than what they are now.
Oh, but, absolutely right. Don't get me wrong, I am all for people's right to protest and people's right to display anything they want to do, okay? But to me, the future of this nation, it appears to me that we have reverted back to the 60s. When you were talking about going to college, all these college students are doing is protesting. But what are they protesting? You see a protest every other day. I seen one the other day. Free the nipple. Oh, my God in heaven. Is this important? Should you not be in class trying to figure out how to fix this nation from the inside, not protesting it from the outside?
Yep. That's exactly right. Free the nipple.
But,
wow.
Most people don't think like I do. I think in the terms of common sense, in logistics, how do you fix the problem? First, you have to read the manual. once you understand how the product works, then you can only then fix the problem that the product has.
Yep. That's exactly right. And to get the means to going to do it, I don't know. I've had so many different people that we've had the same old story again and again where they don't know what to do, but then if you tell them what they can do to help fix things along, they then don't find time to do it. Or I was listening to a show not too long ago, and it was an older one, I think, of one of yours, and someone had called in and said something about they just didn't think that us getting on and even talking about taking care of things and trying to do things right and trying to let people know about what's going on was really even doing something. They thought it was just more or less sitting back and doing nothing like they were doing.
Yeah, complaining
and,
about the problem with fixing it.
Right.
I remember that.
Yeah. And you answered it well. You know, it. If we don't keep doing it and keep telling them and keep telling them and keep moving it forward and keep moving it forward, we just as well let them just run over us then, because that's what's happening. We can't give up. It's just can't.
Right, and so. I think that was an older an older listener as well. I'm
mm-hmm.
almost positive. I think I recall the show anyway. I've had so many that some of them run together.
Yeah. I know it, and I get to listening to so many that sometimes they get to, too, you know, so.
Well, absolutely, and in my answer today may be a little different than it was then, but today my answer is the technological age. The Internet is the street corner. This radio station right here is the broadcast. It is the people holding the signs in the 60s. It is the March on Washington. This is how things are done today. It's not my way. I would rather be standing on the lawn of the White House saying, looky here, looky here, looky here. This is how it's going to be. We're going to start digging graves, and either we're going in them or you're going in them, but things are going to change.
That's right. Well, we got to do something. If we don't, we are being taken over. We're being taken over by incredibly, incredibly sick people that a lot of people don't believe that this is what can happen. I had a caller on one of my previously last shows. He's a buddy of mine from old school long ago, and he even said he does not believe something like say the 9/11 came off, because there's too many people that would have to fall into order and do it right and keep their mouth shut. And I went through and explained the whole routine of how they do it. And even after I was done, I still couldn't. He still wasn't very convinced about how it can happen. And
I kind of put it like this. The rules have been the same since the very inception of society. The fear of dying will keep a man in line. It'll keep a young man in line for sure. But it'll keep an old man in line who has everything to lose. Now, these people who are in power and who were in power at that time, and this is my own personal opinion, they didn't get there by being the elected official they promised to be. Number two, they weren't in the position to help unless they had been there so long that they were dependent on the system like we are. Okay, now, these people turn. And like I said, a young man, keep his mouth closed forever if he's smart. An old man may say, I've lived my life. Do what you will with me. This is what they did. And you see that. You see the older men, the retired CIA officials, the retired generals who are saying, you know, I've lived my life. Whatever they're going to do with me, they're going to do. But you, the American people, need to know what's going on. This is what happened, this is how it happened, and this is why they did it. Now, do with me what you will.
Yep, and everyone puts it in the past and forgets about it.
Thank you.
They move on.
We sacrifice your character now. Oh, well, when you were general, didn't you have a prostitute? Weren't you a little too close to the underprivileged youth at one time. Maybe you're a pedophile. We sacrificed their character. Now they're no longer credible because, and say so-and-so did have a porn addiction. And they go in like they do to the innocent people of this nation and pin little files in your computer. Say this man did. Does that mean that the government did not facilitate 9/11? Just because he watched porn, does that mean that every word out of his mouth is a lie? You can assassinate somebody's character in the press, but that doesn't mean that that person, everything they've ever done in their life, is now discredited.
Yep. That's exactly right. Yep.
And like I said, I'm not sitting here saying that whatever so-and-so did was right. What I'm saying is don't point out somebody else's flaws until you remove the plank from your own eye.
Yep. That's a good point, you know. That's exactly right. On another point, I did see this again the other day. They haven't done the patent number itself, per se, yet, but this was done like in 2012. They had filed for it. Google is supposedly still wanting to patent a smart teddy bear, these smart toys that do the mic and motor and camera and speakers and everything.
Oh, yeah.
They're still working on that yet. And you can Google it, but I haven't been able to find, you can find the stories on it, but I can't find a patent number yet. So, but
well,
people are still talking about it.
Well, yeah, you know, let's look at things that have been patented then, that do the exact same thing, that are in just about every household that has children. Let's look at the Xbox One, the Xbox Kinect. To be exact,
yeah.
This is a child's toy, so to speak, that you stick up in the highest room or the highest place in your house to get the absolute most coverage, to get the absolute best result. Yet, every time that Xbox is on, so is the Kinect, so is the microphone, so is the camera watching you, listening to you. And okay, somebody knocks on the door. Boom, 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 boom. You pause the game. The Kinect doesn't pause. Somebody comes in. You're talking. You're having a conversation, and it could be about anything. Let's just say something severe, okay?
Yeah.
Something that's private. The bank's foreclosing on my mortgage, so to speak, okay? Hypothetically.
Yeah.
I have people over. We're discussing all my options. I am who I am. Say it's happening to me, a political agitator. And now they have leverage over top of me. Hey, we could fix your mortgage for you, but you have to stop making noise. We can make sure we can use you, not even just fix your problem, make your entire life better, but you have to start playing by the rules. Now, all these things that they didn't have on you before, they now have on you because of a child's toy that is already in play.
And it moves with you. It follows you throughout the room, even though the game's paused.
Hi, Deviant.
Huh?
Deviant.
Yeah.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
I am wonderful. I had to jump in here. I just had to dive in. I just had to add to what James said. Even bigger than that is, you know the old saying, know your enemy. Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
They are making damn sure that they know you.
Oh, yeah.
In much the same way. They'll take that information and use it against you. They don't even need you to stop making noise.
Well, exactly.
They can just eliminate you.
Well, and let's put it like this. I have kids. I make a bunch of noise. You have a bunch of things. Say I have the worst day I've ever had. My mother got sick. Somebody ran over my dog, and my kids are going buck crazy, and I just got home, and I freak out, and I say something I shouldn't say. Boom. Now you have CPS at your house, and they take your kids from you. Talk about making your life hell.
Yeah.
Over an Xbox game. that just never was supposed to be in your home.
Well, and do y'all remember a couple of years back, y'all have to excuse me, I have the hiccups, when they had the big controversy over Rent-A-Center. Rent-A-Center was doing something with their computers, but whatever it was basically broadcasting from people's bedrooms, living rooms, whatever,
right,
back to Rent-A-Center. They were able to watch the people that had rented computers from them in their homes. Now, if the guys at Rent-A-Center can figure that out, do you honestly believe that they can't watch you, the powers that be aren't watching you through the little camera on your computer every single day?
Well, in the smartphone, the small laptop that you keep in your pocket all the time, and I know people out here remember this, Facebook Messenger, when it first came out, smartphones, you would deactivate your location. Facebook would bypass your settings, turn on your location, and broadcast it to the world.
Yep.
Whether you wanted them to or not, with or without your permission, your location was being broadcast by an application that bypassed all of your security clearance.
Well, I can't tell you how many times I have posted to Facebook with my location turned off, and it'll still come up near such and such.
Mm-hmm.
They know
it does
that
to me, too.
Yeah, you're not hiding. You're not hiding in any sense of the word.
Not here.
No, people think that they still have this privacy, that you're not being monitored, just out of sight, out of mind, just because you can't see it.
Well, Chris Christie said it the other day. He absolutely came out and said, you have to sacrifice liberty for security. He said it. This is your future president.
And my friends, please don't buy into that. You do not.
Man, oh man. Mm-hmm.
You are our own security. We are our own security.
The United States.
Well, I didn't know about the Rent-A-Center thing. That's pretty intense, because that's TVs, that's everything, man. That's nuts.
And
wow. Wow. That blows my mind, because I hadn't heard about that one.
You must sacrifice liberty for security. There is no other way. Do you want to be safe? Do you want your kids to walk to school? Do you want to make sure they come home? Then you're going to have to sacrifice some of your liberties for security.
Right.
And the only reason these words have ever been spoken is because you're too ignorant to govern yourself. And you allow people to believe that you're too ignorant to govern yourself.
Exactly.
That everyone believes that they are incapable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let them do it.
Dumbed down or scared down.
There you
Maybe
go.
I should say that. I don't want to be completely unfair.
Well, it can be both, yeah.
Right, right. Well, I know that there are still intelligent among us, because there are people beginning to stand up, people beginning to listen, people beginning to take hold of this thing and run with it. So they haven't dumbed us down completely, but that fear factor is huge, and it's still very relevant. It's every bit as relevant as it was during Vietnam. It's every bit as relevant as it was during the whole 9/11 debacle. It's prevalent in the United States. It's a daily thing.
Fear is fed to you with the silver spoon.
Right.
Whereas poverty is thrown at you and slammed against you like a ton of bricks.
Well, it's not even shock factor fear anymore.
Yep.
No, it is. Mm-hmm. It becomes such a normalcy for everyone. Fear is just part of the normal tapestry of life for any kid that was born post 9/11.
And real quick, I want to make this point. If you don't believe what was just said of how prevalent that fear is, then explain to me all the police shootings. If we were embedding fear into everyone in this nation, there would not be half the police shootings. The police are told that the citizens are carrying guns and that they'll kill you. The citizens are being told that the police carry guns and they will kill you. It is fear. It is fear porn beyond fear porn. This should be a monthly subscription amount of fear that is pumped into your home every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's exactly right, you know. Well, and they're hitting us at all angles. They have all sorts of things getting us, not just that. Then they move on with, they have other people. They've got them into gambling addictions. They've got some other people into their favorite TV show. Other ones are into the Kardashians. Other ones are into, they've got such a vast variety of crap, bullcrap going on, that it's a wonder anybody can clear their mind and get out of the fog and go, wow, look at what's going on.
Well, you know, there's a soapbox factor that plays into that, too. Everyone is up on their soapbox about an issue, about this issue or that issue. So that the
yeah.
really important issues, when they do come to light or we do talk about them, it just sounds like more complaining from somebody else.
That's exactly Yeah, that's right. Instead of we're trying to let you know what's going on and come up with a solution to this problem. Yep.
Right. It's just someone else that's complaining.
That's exactly right.
And just because, ladies and gentlemen, out here complaining doesn't mean that that's all we want to do. I'm not here just to tell you what's wrong. As a matter of fact, on Saturday's show, what I did is we went through about an hour's worth of complaining, and then we started telling you, and if you don't like what's going on, this is what you need to do. Like, if you don't like police brutality, go to your local police station. Go to your sheriff. If you don't like the way the government's being run, go to your local mayor. Go to your alderman. Go to the people who represent you where you are, because those people are in contact with the people who represent you from where the capital is.
And let's say this, too. Try this on for size, the American people as a whole, and each individually. If something, don't be offended by what you're told to be offended by. This big race war that started now is because people were told to be offended by something. Don't let them make you be offended. Truly search it and see if there is something offensive to you.
Right.
It's not worth fighting over.
It's not worth fighting.
If it's not worth the fight. Exactly.
Right.
Nothing,
and they do have us fighting over some stupid stuff.
Right, and let me go on record now. The loss of human life is never insignificant. I do want to say that. But turning it into a all-white cops hate all black people, all white people hate all black people hate white people, thing is absolutely ludicrous in 2015.
Or it should be.
It should be.
It should be, right.
Black, white, yellow, purple, polka dot, stripe it. We should all be standing up together.
Well, and before these incidents, you can look at the statistics of interracial children.
Unity.
Between, say, the 80s and the 2000s, okay? Nothing but on the rise. Right. Whites and let's do this right. Caucasians and African Americans have been getting along up until this point. We live in Memphis.
Yeah.
We can go anywhere in Memphis and pretty much be okay.
And as far as living conditions, Memphis is still one of the most racially segregated cities in the United States.
That's
now,
true.
Everyone is kind to one another, and they get along. Mm-hmm. You don't see a lot of blatant racism. But as far as living conditions, there are neighborhoods of white folks, neighborhoods of black folks. There are very few that are... actually coexist.
Right.
But we all coexist within community quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And
we don't walk around hating each other because of the color.
Even now, even after this, it's been a year, right? Right mm-hmm. out of a year since Michael Brown shooting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even in these times with the white cops and the black people being offended and people dying, any color of person, I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Loss of life is loss of life. It doesn't matter what color you were when you died.
Somebody's baby still died.
That's right. Somebody's mm-hmm. mother, somebody's father, somebody's child is laying there dead. No more hopes, no more dreams, no more aspirations to be better than they are. Gone.
Right.
So to say that the color of your skin matters even more in death than it did in life, take your word. Ludicrous.
Ludicrous. Absolutely mm-hmm. ludicrous. It's the life itself that matters, not your person's skin.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean that's how they draw you in though. We've kind of gotten off onto to one of the side topics, but that's how they draw you in. They get you with something that tugs at the heartstrings, and they say,
mm-hmm.
okay, this is where we're going to divide them. Divide them over this. Divide them over with drugs. We're going to divide them with this and this and this illness. You know,
right.
Let's throw sex everywhere and make it very difficult for a young, newly married man not to cheat or not to lust. Do you know what I mean? It's all of that thrown into one. It is a very intricate design.
Yeah. Well,
and look,
very.
Real,
go ahead.
If you don't mind, real quick, we've got a 17-second station identification I'd like to play real quick. Just kind of give everybody a chance to take a drink, get your breath. 17 seconds, and we'll be right back. Is that okay with you, Ms. Deviant?
Sounds great.
All right, here we go. 17 seconds, ladies and gentlemen. We shall return.
Welcome to this Monday Night 411 Show. I'm your host, Deviant, only on APRN. American People's Radio Network.
And we are back.
I just love them. The little sheep.
Oh, they're all pretty to look at. They're not very bright.
Well,
you had some pretty good topics you wanted to discuss tonight. I don't want to steal your show.
I was thinking about only going probably for the next 10, 12 minutes and then probably getting off and hitting the hay probably. Well, the only other thing I had for tonight, I did have something that I came across some time ago. I didn't understand magicians, you know, and it just happened that it was kind of accidental that I came across a couple of YouTube videos that were showing some really, really old magicians. Let me see. I think I have one of the guys' names. Murren Daho. D-A-J-O, and he thought he had these guardian angels around him, and he would stab these long knives and different spears and kind of things in his body, and to the amazement of all the scholars and everybody who came to see that, they realized that, whoa, this is some really heavy tricks you've been doing. But when it was done, when his time was up, he realized then that his angels were actually demons, and they'd used him all up, and he died a really horrible, painful death, because one time they went in, but when them suckers come out, there was blood and everything. That was like towards the very end of his career. And then I got to seeing in some other videos, each one of these magicians have their own special talent, like levitation or disappearing or floating objects, or one's a mask changer, one does lottery, one's numerology, and it's like it's the same thing as with Hollywood. It's a deal that they've made with the devil. See, which made me wonder about Houdini. You know, was
right.
He really all? No, he really wasn't. That's why the magic and everything's a big secret. That's why it's a secret. And I know it sounds stupid, you know, that I've came along this far without figuring it all out, but, you know.
No. I'm in 100% agreement with you, dear. I watched a few things on magicians myself. trying to do the same thing that you were trying to do, and that is bring a little bit of clarity to something that has been clouded for a long time. All I could come up with is the exact same thing that you came up with, is the fact that these people are in connection with the other side. And no matter what they're being told, if you are a God-fearing person, you know that we wrestle against the evil principles of darkness, not one another. And these things are real. And to finally make contact and be able to keep all that a secret, and like you were talking about, the one with the lottery, I watched this guy buy a ticket, pick the numbers, mail it to somewhere, mail it to a television studio that he was going to be on, and then open the, it got there 3 days before he got there. They had a camera on it. They watched it. He come in. He was like, okay, the winning lottery ticket's in there. And it was like a cash four play. But he hit every number. He got everything he was supposed to. The highest payout was $10,000, and that's what he got. Now, you can't fake the lottery. I'm sorry. It is a government-sponsored. This is not something that is just given to you because you're famous. This is a random number generator, and there are millions of players. There is no other explanation. It's not magic. It's sorcery. And that kind of thing has been around since, well, we know the Old Testament. Moses went to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh threw his staff down there and made snakes, and Moses' staff ate Pharaoh's, or ate the snakes that were thrown down there by the magician of his day. This isn't an illusion. It's not an illusion. This is something that is happening right before your eyes with spirits, demons, quote-unquote angels, aliens, whatever you think it is. Something else is helping whomever, these tricks for the cost of their soul. I'm 100% behind you on that.
Well, you brought to mind, I think it was not Cleopatra, but one of the others, that they stuck their hand in the snake thing. It's like they had, one of them had a cobra in it, but all these times it would go round and round, and she was a sorceress that would put her hand in. She was being tested. And as long as she never got bit, they figured her witchery or whatever, her premonitions or whatever, were still really good. And one last time, then she got bit by the cobra. It was like they had, big, huge vases spinning around on a thing.
Yeah. So, I like the charmers.
Yeah,
I recall that as well. It is funny that they would use snakes. That this isn't, that there is something out there would say this isn't biblical, this is an illusion, this isn't demon, this is just 5,000 years of tricks being passed down. And I've seen How to Make Stone Cry. I know that that's not always 100%. But when you can stick your hand through my phone and pull your hand out of my phone, there is something else at work. Call me uneducated. I have an IQ of 155. Call me an idiot. I don't care. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, that's an illusion. No, it's not an illusion. I'm sorry. Illusion is them fooling you into thinking that that's not evil.
Yep. That's exactly right. That and that brought together the words like abracadabra and, like Close Sesame and all them. I did put a link on the event page of Facebook that you can go to that and you can find these words that these supposed magicians and different people in different parts of the world use, and then you can really find out the demonology to it and how it connects with what we're talking about. but
it's quite mind blowing when you get down and see. There's really been one that I know of that one of these magicians that it was a lady, and she could move objects. And the finest scientists from around the world did studies on her, on iron tables to wooden tables, to anything, to clear glass to make sure that she wasn't being able to move these objects, and she could move them by rubbing her hand across the top of them without ever touching them, and they would move. And she would shake her hand over top of it, and then she'd move, and it would roll. It would just move. These objects would move. She could do it with small objects, medium-sized objects. Long as she could get around, she could make it move. That was the only one I had ever seen that wasn't one of these look at me, magician. It was more a wives' table that some people had investigated and found out, look, there's no other explanation for this. There is some supernatural power at work that moves these objects because she doesn't touch them.
There's one where these, and I think he's an Asian, they're sitting around in a mall, in a food booth, food court, and he gives M&M's or Skittles to each one. And then he has one of them write a number and share it amongst themselves only. And then the Skittles moved and went to the number that they were thinking of. The Skittles all moved totally by themselves and took up the shapes of the numbers. And that was pretty crazy, too. I don't see magic anymore as being the fun kid thing that you were taught it's supposed to be, pull a rabbit out of a hat, do a card trick. It's actually pretty bad, pretty evil.
Who does magic target most of the time? Children.
Children.
What does the Bible say about seeking out these seers and these sorcerers? It says not to do these things, not to concern yourself with these things.
Mm-hmm.
And we allow our children to go, and we pay for magician. Now, I'm not saying every magician on the corner is a black magic Luciferian. There are really cool tricks that you can buy at magic stores, trick decks, things of that nature that are really cool. And with a little bit of reading, you can figure out how it works and why it does what it does. But being able to, like I said, stick your hand, to put an iPhone inside of a glass bottle, to just push it right through into the glass, there's something there. There's something more to the eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly right. It is. Well, you know, those were just some of the things on my mind tonight. Well, since our special guest didn't show.
What is his number, dear? Because I have a caller. Been sitting there.
It's an 816, I believe. It should be an 816 number.
All right.
But we can check that caller and see if that's him.
Yeah, let's bring him live real quick. I'll tell you what, I'll screen him real quick, Vivian, okay?
Okay. That'll work. Okay, this has been a wonderful surprise to get to speak with the two of our really, really awesome hosts, Miss Carla and James Impending. I do so appreciate the two of you, and I want to give you an extra special thank you again for helping me out tonight and filling in and popping in with me, since I hate to talk to myself so much.
Earl Conlin is here. He said that he promised you he would show up, and that he's here.
Hey, Earl, how are you?
All right. How are you today?
Okay. It's been a long day.
Tell me about it. I've been driving 700 miles, and I just pulled over and checked my Facebook, and your event is, we're the only two in your event that I can see, and I promised you I would come and drop in. I don't know what we're talking about. I just heard about magic. Yeah, beware of those with familiar spirits.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we've covered an array of things from Memorial Day to, yeah, the magicians, to the Amish, to the Discovery Channel.
On my show, I usually talk about out-of-control government and police.
You still there?
Hello? Yeah.
Okay.
I got a quiet on me. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I thought it dropped.
Okay, my headset shut off.
Yeah, I went back to the studio real quick to make sure it didn't cut you off there, because it went from you speaking to dead silent. I mean, it was like in the middle of your sentence.
It was my headset. It shut down on me.
Ah.
Yeah, it run out of juice. But yes, I talk about out-of-control government and out-of-control police on my show, The Dashboard Outlaw. And
Buddy, where you're at here, where they can find your show and what night and the time and all that stuff.
Blog Talk Radio / Truth Emerges. And you can find me on Facebook as Earl Conlon, The Dashboard Outlaw.
Alrighty.
My show is on Sunday nights, 9 o'clock at night to 11.
That's Eastern. Time?
Eastern or yeah?
Yeah, Eastern time. I'm Eastern time. I'm sorry, my head is just coming down from driving all day long. So I'm like, I still got that hum of the diesel in my head, you know?
Well, I've just been so busy throughout the last week that it just, I'm just all kind of mind-numbing, to be honest with you. Mondays really isn't my most wonderful day. And so to actually get it together, you know, I've been trying. But
Yes. Well, anyhow, you were talking about magic when I was able to get on, and I can only stay for a little while because I got to get up 5 in the morning. So.
Me too. That's why I'm with you on that, because I got to get up and I got an appointment I've got to get to at 6 in the morning. So,
yes,
I understand that perfectly.
Yes, the Bible does say to beware of those with familiar spirits, and it also warns against witchcraft and sorcery, because you may be messing with powers you don't know, and 9 out of 10 times it ain't your grandma that you're seeing in that seance.
Yep. Well, the Bible tells us about the magicians of Egypt, that they duplicated some of the signs of God through demonic magic, but in the end their snakes were swallowed by Moses' staff, and the true power of God then showed through. So,
Right. They tried to duplicate God's power, but God showed them for who they really were.
Yep. Then there's some people that still think that it's just plain very good illusions, and that we're all nuts, and that they're just defying laws of physics. You know?
I've been seeing that guy that fellow that's on your show here was talking about the dude with the iPhone and making a spider walk across a girl's hand and stuff, but that's not the one that really freaks me out. The one that freaks me out is that dude that walks on water.
Mm-hmm. And he's mimicking. He's mimicking, you know, because what is it they say that whatever it is, Satan will make fun of Christ for, like, you know, Christ's disciples are 12. I think Satan's supposed to have 13.
And any false prophets will come and do wonders in the sight of men.
Yep. And so they're walking on water just like Christ did, but yeah.
Yeah, but will they be able to calm the storm?
No. My dad even painted a picture of the storm. You get that's kind of awful funny you mentioned that right then. I have a car that overheats continually. And it, for a half mile or a half hour trip, it took me an hour and a half to get home. So in between letting the car cool down and stuff, I had been looking through some of my father's papers, and my poor kid happens to be sitting there with me, and he got his big Bible lesson. And most of it was on the calming of the storm and the big vessel, and then the smaller vessels that were with them. And my father even had...
I would like...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
There is one thing I would like to say in defense of some people that do things that are miraculous, because Jesus said that you'll do all that I've done and more. But he also said that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you could tell a mountain, be thou removed, and it would obey you. So you have to be careful of what you say in faith. So if somebody has faith, now Peter also walked on water, but when he saw the wave, he sunk, and he cried out to God, and God pulled him up. But he did. He's just an average guy like you and me. Peter did walk on that water for a while because of his faith.
Yep.
He asked him where their faith was. You're right. And
careful,
Archie. Gotta have.
I didn't catch that last part.
I said, where did you doubt me?
Oh, I don't doubt nobody.
That's exactly right. That's what he said. Yep. Because they woke him up from his... He was sleeping on that vessel. Yep.
Right.
Everyone very happy to be woke up, but...
he was needing his rest.
Yeah, but the point I was making is that, you know, that a human man can do the things that Jesus Christ did if he has the right faith.
Oh, absolutely, right, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that wholeheartedly. I have a miracle of my own. My wife had an inoperable brain tumor, and at the asking in faith that Jesus would remove it, it removed itself. It is no longer there. No, sir.
The power of prayer.
That's right. You have to be careful in faith.
I had a small miracle once when I was a teenager. I was out in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was sleeping in the woods, and it started raining cats and dogs, and I ran out, and then I got underneath the awning of this restaurant right across the street from Elvis Presley's house, and I'm standing there looking at the rain, and there's this car that's been sitting there all week long, and I'm thinking, well, I could sleep in there. And I asked God if he would stop the rain long enough for me to go to get into the car. And I waited, and rain didn't stop. Then a thought came to my mind that wait a minute, if I had faith, I would just start walking. And so as soon as I stepped off the curb, out from under the awning, the rain stopped. And as soon as I climbed in the back of that car and shut that door, the rain came back again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That blew me away. I was like, I don't know, 17, 18 years old.
Well, the first thing that ever blew me away was when I finally got spoken to by God. So, you know, that blew me away. And it was just, it happened well after I was baptized. And that was the sign that I had been looking for many, 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 many years. Because I never understood this thing that my dad always talked about. With him and God and their connection and their relationship and how he spoke to him. And, you know, I'm like, I don't hear nothing. You know, and it was years of nothing. And I'm like, why won't you talk to me? You know, and... one time I had been praying and I told him that I didn't think that, you know, he didn't really have to bother with me, that he, you know, there was people being persecuted all over the world. There was horrible things happening to other people way, 100 times worse than ever could be happening to me. And then if he was needed there, that he should go to them. And he told me, Teresa, I am with you always. And not crapping anybody. It really happened. It was awesome. I'm like, whoa, cool. and I wasn't hearing things. I'm like, well, this is awesome. So I know the feeling.
Yeah, yep. You know, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, yep, I agree, man. Totally awesome.
I mean, you know, it was probably and that's all I needed. And I haven't had asked for any reassurance since then. I won't never, ever need it because I'm just going to let my faith do the rest.
And you know when God talks to you. There's
oh,
no
it was
mistake.
Different.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
No mistake. When I've done it myself. I mean, when my grandfather died, my parents had split up. I mean, a lot of things happened when I was, you know, 15, 16 years old. I remember walking about where I live now all the way to the other side of town, probably 5:30 in the morning. I didn't really sleep. And I was talking to God, and he was talking right back to me because I was asking questions that if I had the answer to, I would not have. But, I mean, almost immediately it was, you don't understand, you don't see the big picture. You know, why is this happening? Trust me, I'm here with you. Well, I don't see it. Well, I am here. If I wasn't here, you wouldn't be here. I was, you know, coming right back to me. And I guess it took me about 2 hours and, you know, arguing with God, not really arguing, but, I mean, being upset. You know, especially when that calm comes over you.
Oh, yeah.
No matter what happens, I'm going to be there. You're going to die one day, and I'll be there with you that day, too.
Yep. It was incredible.
May I comment on that? Let's just say this. Does darkness exist? Everybody would normally tell you, yes, it does. But I say, no, darkness is the absence of light. It doesn't exist. And if God is the source of life, if there was no God, there would be no life.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with evil. Evil is the absence of love. And if there's no love, then there's nothing but evil. Same as light and dark. Opposite.
Well, and I enjoy this good feeling. I've never had to endure or feel that terrible evil feeling. Like actually in the presence of demons or actually in the presence. You know what I'm saying? Actually where somebody really, really wicked walks past you and you can feel it. I've never had to... I've never came across a lot of that because I was brought up in the church, you know, and I've always been surrounded by love. I've always surrounded myself by good things. So, you know, the good feeling's got to be good.
I have felt that.
I don't want to. I don't ever want to have to really feel it, even though we know we will someday because of all the evil in this world. If we're all still around for the New World Order, we're going to know.
Well, on that subject, I hate to break it to you, but we're already in the New World Order.
Well, yeah, that's true.
It's already here. It's not coming. It is already here.
Yeah.
But, hey, I hate to chat and run, but I got to get to bed or else I'm not going to be able to pry my ass out of that bed tonight in the morning.
Yeah. Gosh, I'm glad you called in.
Yes, ma'am, I promised you I would, and I'd like to keep my promises.
Oh, that was really sweet of you. Thank you.
That's what you said when I joined your event. All right. You folks
All
have
right.
a good night, and God bless. And then don't forget, 9/11, the bikers, the truckers, and the vets and patriots are all going to D.C. this 9/11. I'm the one that's organizing, rallying the truckers, and we're going to be serving warrants this year. We've got the constitutional sheriffs coming with us.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's
so if you go to my Facebook page and look up that picture for the 9/11 event, print it out and pass it out, churches, post offices, stores, malls, everywhere. I'll be passing them out in truck stops.
Okay. And I'll
hopefully
try to
get
some
of
them.
Those crooked people in handcuffs before we leave there. What do you think?
Be great. Like I was going to say here, make something printable so it can be downloaded. And on this end here in Ohio, I'll start delivering papers and leaving them on doorsteps and on car windshields and whatever it takes.
I appreciate it. Yes, ma'am. All you got to do is just go to my Facebook page. You'll see it. It has the picture of the Marines saluting and the red, white, and blue fest and the bikers and the truckers. Yeah, you'll see it right there. Just print that picture out and pass them out for me, please.
Okay. No problem.
Alrighty.
We'll do. All right.
Thank you. God bless, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
God bless you.
Bye.
Bye. Well, I was going to say, my show on Mondays is trailed by you guys. James is on, you're on Saturday night, 7 Central, 8 Eastern. Is that right?
Yes, that's, my show's a floater show. It'll be on Saturday. Hopefully I will know, 2 or 3 days in advance exactly what time. It will either be a really, really late show or it'll be a really early show. It can be anywhere from 4 o'clock Eastern to 11 o'clock Eastern,
Okay.
Like I said, my work schedule, Carla's doctor's appointments and everything and softball and all of this is stretched really thin. So I may only be around maybe once or twice a month. I'm going to go ahead now and put it out there that I will be looking for someone to do the other two nights on Saturday so that we can have a little stability here at the network, just where people will know, okay, it's Saturday night, 9 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah. Okay. And then Sunday is the Vox Box, I think.
Yeah, Maria Vox. Vox
and
Box,
that
and
one's...
it comes on at 11 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay. She was 8 o'clock.
Yes. Now she's 11. She's late.
Now she's 11. Okay. That's good. Now,
and
I think there's
night,
an upcoming show. Is that Tuesday?
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
Raquel O.K. Yeah, Raquel O.K., and she does the Second Amendment stance show. And she comes on at 7 Eastern to 9 Eastern. Last week was a killer show. I think she's going to pick up where she left off with the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association president. I'm not exactly sure, but I know if you didn't catch that show, the archives are through the roof. That show was wonderful.
Yes, it was.
I ask you all to go out there and find the Second Amendment stance, Raquel O.K.
Okay, and then did we have something Wednesday?
Wednesday we actually have Michael Hutton and the Americans United Against Tyranny radio show is back with me and back with the Alliance. We are going to proudly welcome them. They come on at 8 p.m. Eastern to 10 p.m. Our central is 7 to 9. And it'll be the same great shows trying to restore this once great nation to people who are more righteous than those who are in charge.
Sounds great. Ooh.
Thursday night is a new, he's not new to radio, but he is new to us. It is Dylan Wade. His show is going to be geared towards more his age. He's 17. He's been researching for at least the last 18 months because that's when I learned about him myself. But he's got some really good shows on YouTube. He's done some really big guests at Stu Webb. I mean, he's done some big things. And he comes on, I do believe it's at 7 Eastern as well. And Friday, of course, is our Red, White, and Blue Message for the American People. And it is on at 5 p.m. Eastern. Excuse me. I'm used to Central. I'm over here in the middle.
Yeah, you're Central. Okay, so 4 Central, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Man, all week and great weekend. So this is going to be awesome. I hope people start tuning in and staying tuned in. And I can't thank you guys enough either, Miss Carla and James. I do so appreciate you guys.
Oh, and we appreciate you, dear. We all have our troubles. And all
I do. Yeah, so if you don't care, I'll probably sign off now.
Oh, no, dear. It's
you ready
your
to
show.
Go? Okay.
Everybody's
okay,
got
well.
An early morning. Everybody, Carla included. So, yes, dear.
Well, thank
out.
You so much. Okay, and this is the American People's Radio Network. America, we are one.